Oh, my gosh, thank you. And those of you that know me, it doesn't take much for me to cry. So if that happens throughout the course of the service, those of you who have no idea who I am, just go with it. If I start dripping snot and things like that, somebody be kind enough to grab me a box of tissues. But what an honor. And a privilege to be able to be with you guys today. And to have our whole family here. And we thank the Lord for that. Thank you, brother. Your timing was impeccable. Oh, my gosh. We thank the Lord that Jacob is here today. And we thank you, our extended family, who I can't thank you enough for just the outpouring of support. I mean, just your kindness to us and your prayers on Jacob's behalf and for our family. And it's a season of life that you don't ever think is going to happen, nor would you wish for it to happen. But in the midst of it all, in those times of trial and testing, it's where we see God come through most visibly, most clearly, as he teaches us about his faithfulness, as he teaches us about his love and his kindness. And he does that in such a creative way as he steps into your situation, kind of through that kind of temporary blindness that you get from the stress and just all of the junk that comes along with it. He's there. He's right there and continues to be. And so again, thank you. Thank you for walking with us. And it's a testimony to the fact that God's doing good stuff. Even in the midst of just life in our nation and in our communities, he's doing good stuff. And he has good stuff in store for you. He has good stuff in store for your family. He has good stuff in store for this community and our nation. And I believe with all my heart that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And I don't throw that out as just some empty platitude. That's in the depth of my heart, that God is moving. And my response to that, and I hope your response to that, is to begin to extract the stuff from my life that has become a distraction to me engaging with the things that God wants to do. Engaging with the things that he wants me to do, the things that he's calling out of me in this season. I don't want to miss a moment. I don't want to miss a thing in terms of what he's doing and what he has to do. It's really weird. It's kind of surreal to be here. Oh, gosh, but it's so good. So good to see you all. I was a mess even during worship time. It was just like, Teresa comes up to hug me, and I just blew snot all over her. And sorry, Teresa. Dry cleaning bill can come to me, but this has been a great series that you guys have been in. I've watched a few of the teachings online, and Pastor Tim, as he does, just hitting it out of the park. Such a strong, strong Bible teacher. And if he's watching online, hey, buddy. But as he's mentioned a time or two over the course of the last several weeks, the world around us is in a period of unrest and has been for quite some time, but even more visibly so. And it's easy for us to think that the world is falling apart, but things aren't falling apart. They're falling into place. Yeah. Yeah. And as we look at our world through the lens of Scripture, we know that one of these days, Jesus is going to call us heavenward to be with him for eternity. Does that excite you? You know, some of you are a little closer to that reality than others. You know, you're not buying green bananas, stuff like that. Too soon? But that's what we all have to look forward to. That's our hope, right? That's our hope. So would you pray with me before we jump too much deeper? God, thank you for the extraordinary reality of your church and that you've given us this visible expression of your love and the community of faith that you are calling us to be. And God, today as we look to your word and we talk about that future that's already but not yet for us, we look forward with great anticipation to that day when you will crack the sky and call us to come and be with you forever. And God, while we're in that space of anticipation, in that space of waiting, would you help us, each one of us, to lean into you and into the things that you have for us to do, because there's a world around us that is lost and broken. And we don't want in any way, shape, or form to create this little huddle where we shield ourselves from those harsh realities. But God, we want to walk into those realities with the hope of Jesus, your Son, who came and died and rose again so that we can have life. And so that our friends, our family members, people in our communities can experience that life as well. Help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today, for a few minutes, we're going to jump into a little conversation, if you will, about heaven. And it's something that's been deeply set in the heart of humanity since the beginning of time. And we can look to the scripture in Ecclesiastes 3:11. Sorry, guys, this isn't a slide that was in there. And there's going to be a couple of those because I've been working on this message since, like, well, what time is it? About 45 minutes ago. God has made everything beautiful in its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. There's that longing that's been implanted in each and every one of us, that stirring that longs for something transcendent to what we see now, that reality of heaven. And as long as I can remember, I've been in church my whole life, but I've heard sermons and heard stories and heard songs about heaven, about the realities of heaven. And I remember as a boy sitting around with, you know, older people. They were probably in their 20s at the time, but they seemed old to me. But just, you know, sitting around in conversations where people would talk about heaven and they kind of get that faraway look in their eyes and just like this wistful kind of longing. And they would sing songs like, "What a day that will be when my Jesus I will see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me where? To the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be." There's such beauty and there's such wonder in those words, but even more so in the words of Scripture that the Bible reveals to us. And I hope that today, in the few moments that we have together, that you'll feel stirred with a sense of expectation. You'll feel that wonder of waiting, and also a sense of the gravity of it and the reality that there are a lot of people that are not on that path yet. And then thinking about how we need to live in light of those realities. You guys ready? You don't have anywhere to go, do you? because we're barely going to scratch the surface today as we look at this and we think about heaven and how we're called to live in light of those realities. But as we think about that and as we look at our cultural moment, we need to begin by taking some perspective from Scripture. And so if you have a Bible, that's great. And if you're quick, you can jump over to John chapter 14. Scripture's going to be on the screen for you. But these are the words of Jesus in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Because in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Jesus is saying to his followers here, he's saying, you know, don't let the current state of the world around you. And in the first century, that was a lot messier than what we know today, okay? Just in terms of quality of life and, you know, all of that kind of stuff, it was nutso. He said, don't let all of this stuff get under your skin. Don't let these things derail your faith. And I think that's the calling that we receive today as well. Don't let the stuff that's going on around you, and even within the context of your own family, don't let that stuff derail your faith. If anything, let it cause you to lean more into Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Because, man, you tote that by yourself for long enough, you're going to break under that weight. You're going to break under that weight. And Jesus said, what? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So don't let your hearts be troubled. And so we're using the Bible today as our primary source from which to kind of build some thoughts about heaven. And I want to encourage you, use Scripture. I know there's a lot of books out there about heaven, but they're not going to tell you nearly as much as what you're going to. So build your theology about heaven from what Scripture has to say. Because you and I, we have a privilege and a calling that God has placed on us to be involved in God's plan. Because he has a plan, right? He knows what he's doing. He's calling us into that responsibility, that privilege of sharing the good news of the gospel with Jesus Christ to as many people as we possibly can, making sure that we pack the bus, right? When it's time. Because as John just told us, he's preparing a place, right? In my Father's house, there's many rooms. So that would be indicative of, hey, there's space, right? There's room. So we got to bring people along. We got to bring people along, and that's the calling that we have. But I think for most of us, when we start thinking about heaven, and we have having those conversations about what happens, you know, we start to think about it in the context of death. And the older I get, the more, you know, I think about those things, advanced planning and stuff like that. What are you talking about? But death is one of those things that it's not comfortable. A lot of people avoid talking about it because it forces us to come to grips with our mortality. And we're not going to live forever. We're not superhuman. And we've got to consider that question. Well, what happens when we die? Clouds, white robes, halos, harps, angels singing St. Peter at the gate. Heaven or hell? Down through the pages of history, we've been given a lot of inaccurate pictures of heaven, from art to movies, TV. Anybody remember the old, I'm going to date myself here, but the old, I think it was George Burns movies, Oh God? Remember those? Okay. You couldn't get any further away, okay? I mean, there's all this stuff that's helped to kind of frame some of our thinking. And anybody under 30 is going, George who? What? But we have these influences that have kind of cultivated this default picture in our heads of heaven. For me, okay, true confessions here. For me, it's Looney Tunes, Bugs Bunny. When anybody would get bumped off in the cartoons, you know, here they are. Bring, 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 and, you know, on a little cloud going up to heaven. So the first thought that comes to my mind, and maybe this is just a sign of my immaturity, right? That's what I think of. It's like, oh, there goes Daffy Duck. Woo! But along with those default images that we have of heaven, we also have our biases. I remember as a kid, growing up in church, I mean, it was typical, whether it was my dad in the pulpit or, you know, anybody that would come in as a guest speaker, they would flat dangle you over the fires of hell until your toes were toasted. And then bring you to the abyss and push you off. I mean, it was that level of urgency, I hope, right? But you have these pictures. And so every week, you know, I'd get saved. My hand was up every single week. That's the truth. You laugh, but that's the truth, because I didn't want to get left. In fact, and I think I've probably told this story before, but I came home from school one day, and I go in the house as I normally would and throw my stuff and, you know, grab a snack, whatever, and then I realize I don't hear anybody making noise in the house, and like looking around, and there's nobody. Mom? Dad? My sister wasn't there. She was with a friend or something like that. And so I'm looking. And we lived in a parsonage. My dad was a minister. And we lived in the pastor's little house apartment thing that was on the back side of the church. It was like literally up on the back side of the church. And so I go down and I'm looking around. I go downstairs and I'm looking around the yard and I don't see him out there. So I go in the church building and I'm walking around. At this point, I'm starting to get a little bit of a... because I'm not finding them. And by the time I've worked my way through the building, I'm banging on doors. I'm screaming at the top of my voice, Dad, Mom! Because I thought for sure that I'd been left. There was some sin in my life that had gone unconfessed. But I'm not here this morning to do that to you. Because much of my childhood was spent living in fear instead of in expectation. And I think that's where we need to turn the page today, to move from fear toward expectation. And it makes us chuckle, right? It's funny, didn't you think? But it's important to think about and address these questions, especially moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, aunties and uncles. If you've got little ones in your life, they're going to ask some of these questions. What happened when, you know, grandma passed away? What happened? Where did she go? Don't dodge those issues. Don't sweep that under the rug and say, oh, she's with Jesus now. You know, obviously, dependent upon their age and their level of understanding, but walk them through it. Present to them the whole gospel. Got it? That's important to help them understand. Because a lot of people think when you die, that's it. Right? The end, the eternal dirt nap, the whole lot of nothing. You just cease to exist. And if you believe what the Bible has to say, that's not the case. That is not the case. There's life beyond this existence. There's life beyond today in which we get to experience the reality of God, us with him, him with us. This is just a taste, right? And a lot of people, they like the idea of heaven. And, you know, somebody passes away, a friend or a relative, they comfort themselves with that, you know, the phrase, oh, they're in a better place. They're in a better place. But as you have conversations with them, those who aren't Christians, you know, they're willing to say that they believe in heaven, but they're not really willing to acknowledge the alternative. And there's where we find the rub. Because Scripture's really clear that when it comes to eternity, we have two options, smoking or non-smoking. I got one shot, people. Come on. I thought, when I wrote that down, I thought, that's so dumb, but it worked. But from a biblical perspective, we can't talk about one without the other. We can't. We can't talk about one without the other, because the Bible, from cover to cover, it paints for us a picture that when we pass from this life, we step into eternity, we're either with God, or we're separated from him for all eternity. in hell. And it's interesting, as you look through Scripture, the person that had the most to say about hell was Jesus. We think of Jesus in terms of love and grace. And you know what? He didn't mince words. In Matthew's gospel, in Mark's gospel, in Luke's gospel, Jesus talks about heaven and hell as realities that have to be dealt with. And we'll come back to that a little bit later because I want to talk to you a little bit more about heaven. But we need to think again about how we're called to live in light of these realities. I'm gonna bang that drum. This should impact the way that we live every single day. So what is heaven? Well, it's a very real place, presented in Scripture in a variety of ways. We see imagery of a garden. We see images of a city, a kingdom. As we read in John chapter 14, it's a big, big house with lots and lots of rooms. A big, big table with lots and lots of food. Big, big yard. Anyway, but we have to be careful that we don't make the mistake of thinking that these are analogies with no connection to the realities of heaven. Because not only is heaven a spiritual reality, it's a very real place as well. And maybe you've had this thought that you can't possibly know what heaven is like, that this is going to be so amazing, it's going to be more wonderful than we could imagine or even think. And that's partly true. But we need to let our imaginations be fed by what Scripture reveals. We need to ask God to help us to take off some of those blinders, some of those perceptions that we've taken, preconceived ideas about heaven, so we can understand more clearly what Scripture is saying to us. And to do that, we got to take what we already know from the Bible and let that fuel our imagination as we dig deeper into the Scripture, especially as we interact with the world around us. As broken as it is, God created this world to give us kind of a glimpse, a foretaste of what it will be like for us in eternity. I mean, come on, people, just look out the windows. We drove into the valley on Friday afternoon, and I just openly wept, okay? And again, it's me. And not that Seattle and that area is any slouch. We live in a beautiful region where God has his fingerprints on everything. I mean, we took our kids out to the Brit Gardens and walked on the trails yesterday, and it's just like, man, if it's this good right here, what must it be like? What must it be like? I've read over the years C.S. Lewis's book, The Great Divorce, and it gives kind of a picture, and I've had some conversations with Cammie. Cammie, where are you? There she is. One of the most beautiful girls in the room. And it talks about how people just have these messed up views of what heaven is, what heaven isn't. But I think we just need to take a look around us. Take a walk. Have somebody take you for a walk if you can't find the motivation within yourself. Do it. I mean, even just look at the person next to you. Husbands, this is your cue. Look at the person next to you. This person is an amazing representation of God's creative genius. Right? Engage in conversations with one another about heaven. We got to talk about more than the weather and sports, right? Or politics, or social media. We need that. We need that fuel to light that fire of anticipation. We need that iron sharpening iron moment where we're talking with each other about spiritual things. Use the gifts that you've been given. Some of you are, talent just drips from you. Paint, draw, build, write, repair, create. An attempt to think about this world as it was intended to be and as it will be. And if you need some help, here's a great jumping off point from 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul is writing here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, he says, "However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." And I think that we get into the habit of just kind of stopping there. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. He gives us the ability to grab hold of these things, the things that he's trying to reveal to us through the understanding that the Holy Spirit provides. And often, God uses the physical realities to underscore what he's trying to reveal to us by his Spirit. God tells us that he loves us, but he doesn't just leave it there. He brings people into our lives to affirm that. You're loved. God loves you. I love you. And if we're not saying that to one another, we're shirking the responsibility that we have as followers of Jesus Christ. So God's emphasizing what we're going to experience for eternity through what we have around us, through the blessings that we've received in the here and now. And I don't want to get too much further off the beaten path here, but sometimes we even get a glimpse of what the realities of heaven are going to be like through other people who have had, shall we say, an experience, and where God gives them a little glimpse. And I was thinking about my mom, who passed away from cancer about 10 years ago. But early on, she first went into the hospital. She was out of it for a long time. She almost died right there. She had the tumor, about the size of a cantaloupe, and they didn't even know. Anyway, but she comes out of that, and she says, "I saw it. And she described, just this place of amazing beauty. But what was the kicker for me was she said, "I saw Papa," who's my great-grandfather. And, he was a pioneer preacher, just a man's man, kind of a good old boy, kind of a figure. And she said, "You know what he said to me? When I saw him and one of her aunts was there with him, there was some other family that she recognized, and he said, "Hey there, sister, come on in, the fishing's great." take that for what you will, but to me, that's beautiful. And I hold on to that because, I'm not a fisherman, but at least, this is incredible. And if that sounds a little bit too far out there for you, or a little too, if you're more of an intellectual type, there are thousands upon thousands of volumes that have been written on the subject of heaven throughout history. And in fact, I was reading a book that I think Pastor Tim used kind of as a foundation for a series that he did several years ago. It's a book by Randy Alcorn called Heaven. And I think I remember that from back in the day, but Randy Alcorn did an enormous amount of research, just volume after volumes researching heaven, and he came to the conclusion that theologians and scholars have given us very little in terms of what's said on the subject of heaven, and even what we have from a complete picture. But as my wise and beautiful daughter said recently, we don't have as much information about heaven as we'd like, Dad, but we have all we need. We have all we need. And my hope today is to kind of whet your appetite, to get you thinking about heaven, to get you thinking about how you're living today in response to that amazing reality. But there's a distinction that I want to carefully pull out this morning, okay? And that's the distinction between heaven as it is currently and the heaven that will be. And I think Pastor Tim has talked about kind of the new heavens and the new earth in the series. But let me walk this back for just a minute, because here's where it gets a little tricky, and hopefully I don't leave too big a mess for Pastor Tim to clean up. But we should be careful not to draw too many conclusions about the current place called heaven. Because what we see in Scripture is that there's a heaven that exists until Jesus returns, and then the new heaven and the new earth that are, you know, are prepared. But there's this, kind of this in-between space, if you will. And Jesus even refers to it on the cross when he's in conversation with one of the thieves. He says, you know, today you're going to be with me in paradise. And so there's this indication of kind of this in-between space. And the Apostle Paul, Apostle John gives us a glimpse in Revelation chapter 21. And he says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Now, did you catch that? Then I saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Now, Jesus is preparing a place for us now, but it's temporary until the second coming when he comes. And this is maybe a kind of a weird analogy, okay? But it's like taking a trip on which you have a lengthy layover in an exotic locale, okay? You got on a plane here in Medford, and you get off, you know, in Maui or whatever. And I got a 4-day layover in Maui. What's not to love about that? Medford was nice, but this isn't bad right here. While you're waiting to go on to your final destination, which is even better. Which is even better. And so this new heaven that Scripture tells us about is God's glory. God's glory, so brilliant, like precious jewels giving light so that there's no need for sun or moon. Walls made out of jasper. The city of gold as pure as glass. Well, we've got resurrected life, resurrected bodies. Thank you, Jesus. There's no more night. There's eternity in God's presence on a resurrected and remade earth. God with us physically. And that's what his intention has been since the creation of the world, is that we would have that experience, that foretaste of it here and now. God with us right now, spirit. God with us for eternity, face to face. I think another challenge that we've got as we consider these eternal things and as we look forward to this stuff, our minds get caught up in what's right in front of us, in the temporary, family, work, recreation, retirement. And none of those things are inherently bad, but we've got to hold loosely to those things. We've got to hold loosely to those things. Paul, again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and this one's not on the screen either, my apologies. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, fix our eyes not only on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Because since what is seen is temporary, what is seen is eternal. We've got to hold loosely to this life and the stuff around us and the drive to acquire and accumulate that supposed security that we think this will all bring us. We need to live in that preparation for the reality of the Lord's return and embrace that calling that he's put on us to live a holy life. And Paul goes on to bring that a little clearer into focus in his letter to Titus. And this is Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. He says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So when we enter into relationship with God through Jesus Christ and we're filled with the Spirit, he enables us to live the life that we're designed for here and now while we wait for that rapture, that taking of us as Jesus returns. And as followers of Christ, we're called to live in such a way that we're demonstrating that life-changing power of the grace of God, the gospel of Jesus, by doing good stuff, by proclaiming the good news of Jesus. I didn't get any amens on that. That's our calling. But in doing good things, okay, it's not like we're earning our way to heaven. This isn't incentivized. We don't have to walk 37 little old ladies across the street by Thursday in order to punch the ticket. Titus, again, Paul in chapter 3, says, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What does it look like for us to live in this reality day to day, okay? Living in light of these realities of heaven. If we listen to what the Apostle Paul is saying, the grace that we've received, it implants in us, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness, to worldly passions, to the stuff that is accessible to us at any time. And we don't have time to fully unpack that, but really it comes down to we got to follow the principles and the directives that we see revealed in Scripture. Saying no to things that we know will violate God's design for us. Colossians 3:1, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Exercising self-control. Not a popular topic, but we're not animals, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? We're not animals who have no ability to resist the impulses and temptations of our nature. We can say no. We can say no. And man, we've got to diligently and actively pursue God. And this is one of those things that we hammer on all the time, but it's get into the Word. If you're not reading the Bible regularly and you're not really sure how to get there, talk to one of these wonderful pastors. They will hook you up, okay, with a Bible reading plan. They will resource you to get you into the Word and spending time in prayer. And we think, you know, maybe that's just like, just start out with a few minutes a day. Talk, listen. It's like a conversation. But don't let a day go by in which you fail to anticipate the place that Christ is preparing for us. We need to live holy and ungodly lives, but have that in the back of our minds that this is preparation. This is preparation, because heaven should affect everything that we do. It should affect our activities and our ambitions. It should affect our relationships. It should affect the way we spend our time and our money. And okay, if I believe I'm going to spend eternity in a world of unending beauty and wonder in the presence of God, should I be content to spend my spare time binging shows on Netflix? Okay, no stones being thrown here, okay? But if I'm stepping on your toes this morning, maybe there's a need for that. How much time do I want to invest in what doesn't matter in light of eternity? We need to look at this through the profound yet simple view of a prayer that Jesus taught his followers to pray. He said, "Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We need to link up with that mindset. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Asking ourselves, what's it like in heaven? And begin to read, begin to look, like in Revelation chapter 4, where John describes, there's worship. There's worship around the throne where these creatures are saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come." That's what we're created for too. We had a beautiful expression of that this morning as the team led us. Man, don't let this be the only space and time in which you engage in that activity. Driving in your car, at home, working in the yard or out in your shop or whatever. Man, God is worthy. And every aspect of our lives needs to have a little sprinkling of that. The things that we do on the day-to-day need to be framed as acts of worship to God, giving him glory. Because as long as God keeps you here, this is exactly where he wants you to be. Serving his kingdom purposes. Doing things that are in alignment with his will and our thinking and in our action. Things that are informed by his word that reflect his will. Setting an example for people that we're not just Christian by association, but in the way that we live our lives every moment of every day, honoring God with how we lead our lives, honoring God with how we lead our families, how we do our work, how we treat our fellow humans. Serving one another, loving one another with no thought of getting anything in return. And if we do these simple things, not only are we going to honor God, but we're going to contribute to a flourishing in society. And we need a little bit more of that. Amen? Amen. I know this is challenging. And even through the hard things in life, though, God is expanding your capacity for the joy of eternity. Let me say that again. Even through the hard things in life, God is expanding your capacity for the joy of eternity. We need to let that perspective influence the way that we think and the way that we live. And we can do that, again, as we lean into God through the spiritual disciplines of reading the Bible, praying, fellowship, come on, breaking bread together. We can develop that theology of heaven that helps transform our daily lives, that frees us from that shallow hopelessness that comes from a life that's caught up in the temporary nature of this broken world. And I know it can be difficult. Marriages have rough patches. Kids make poor choices. Loved ones get sick. Jobs can suck the life out of you. But in light of what lies ahead for those who follow Christ, man, we got to persevere. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. And as beautiful as the reality of heaven is and will be, juxtaposed is the reality of the judgment and devastation of separation from God for all eternity. And we got to look with urgency on those things. Not out of a sense of fear, again, but because of God's grace. Jesus has given us the opportunity to enjoy this breathtaking reality of heaven, but we got to look with urgency toward the possibility of the countless souls that aren't going to be there. And if you're having a hard time this morning, whether you're here in person or whether you're watching online, if you're having a hard time this morning believing in hell and eternal separation from God, and why would a loving God, you know, do this and that? Okay, consider for a moment the love that it took for God to send his only son, for Jesus to go obediently to the cross, and what he went through to provide you with the opportunity to spend eternity with him. The operative word there is opportunity. It's a choice we make. It's not predetermined. And I think this is key for us today. From the beginning of time, God's design, God's desire has been and is for relationship with us. And that we get to kind of, you know, get things started here and then anticipate what that's going to be like for eternity. I mean, he's calling us into that space right now. He's calling you into that space today. If you've never come into relationship with God through Jesus Christ, if you've never made that step, today's your day. I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up. Join me on the platform here. It's a familiar scripture. Even if you're not a believer. You've probably seen it at football games. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's heart. That's God's heart for you, for me, for everyone. Because he doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants everybody to come to that place of repentance. So if you find yourself kind of on the outside of that, you've never taken that step, said, I need God in my life. I need to ask Jesus to forgive me for my sin and to create in me that new life, that new perspective. This is your moment. Would you bow your heads with me? And if that's you today and you're just like, man, I need to step into this reality of new life through Jesus. I need to take a different path than the one that I've been on. If that's you today, would you just slip up your hand, because I want to pray with you. Just give you a second. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You desperately, desperately loves you. And he's created you for relationship with him. And that's his desire. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you've got people in your life that are close to your hearts but far from God, would you pray with me and ask the Lord to begin that work in their hearts, whatever it takes? God, that's our prayer today for those friends, family members, people in our lives who are in that space of they've rejected you. They're not there yet. God, we ask that today would be their day, and that whatever it takes for you to kind of interrupt the trajectory that they're on and begin to help their eyes be open to the reality of your great love, to the reality of the eternity that you are preparing for them, and bring them to that place of decision, choosing to surrender their life to you and to follow you. God, we ask that. And we ask that for brothers and sisters, for kids, grandkids, family members, friends, coworkers, God, because we want to pack the bus. We want to see people in our lives, people in our community, in this world, nobody left out, nobody left behind. We thank you, God. Thank you for your grace that you've brought us in to relationship with you, and that you've brought us into this space today. Continue to prompt our hearts with the realities of heaven and what is to come as we walk with you. Help us to be the people that you've created us to be as we walk this earth, bearing testimony to the good news of Jesus Christ. It's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen.